for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from Sexcent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
August the 31st, 2001, Labor Day weekend, teaching and deliverance camp meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Mildred Coffey of Millington, Tennessee, is the speaker of the morning.
I love to sit under. And you know why I like to sit under Mildred Coffey, Miss Mildred Coffey? Why I like to sit under her teaching? She believes every word she says.
Hallelujah.
So, Mildred, if you'd come up and bless us this morning. And she has on a coat of many colors. And bless, that's right. I had a prophetic word the other night, and it was about brilliant colors. Good morning, Mildred.
Good morning. You know, the older you get, the brighter you like to be. I told my daughter I was out looking for a red suit. She said, Mother. I said, yeah, I want to brighten up the place. Not yet. I'm looking, though. Praise the Lord. Brother Glenn asked me if I had a pocket. His microphone doesn't fit in my dresses. I said, wait till fall. I wear suits in the wintertime. Praise the Lord. Doesn't matter. Not really. If it wasn't recording, I wouldn't need it anyways. I got a big mouth. I like to proclaim the word. Dr. Noel came by and says, what are you going to preach on this morning? I said, the word. He said, now. I said, I'm going to preach. I share this morning on the blood of Jesus. I said the blood to him. He says, on the soul. I says, no, I thought about that, but the Lord is bringing me back to teach on the blood. I taught this in my church last Sunday morning. My son came to visit me. My son has a mission over in Little Rock. He's been there about 3 years, I think. He came to visit me last week, and we were sitting there talking. He said, Mother, said, sometimes I find it really hard to stay saved. And it shocked me because I didn't know what he was talking about, because I know he loves the Lord. But he's dealing with lost people all the time, and they get them saved in the mission. He said, you know, said, I wear a hat of many type hats. Because he's head of the mission. He's got a lot of people under him that minister to the people. And my other son, another one of my sons, work in the mission with him. And this son, when the brother... who was it? Maybe it's Crystal said something about the back row Baptist. This son of mine, the middle son, is still walking Baptist. And I haven't understood that. He's been in the mission 2 years, and they still ain't gotten filled with Holy Ghost. Don't understand that at all. But anyways, his job there is to question the men as they come in and lead them to Jesus. And he is just having a ball. But I'm saying this to say... When my son said that, I said, you know, James, I said, Jesus said over in the Gospels, he said, when he returns, would he find faith on the earth? And I said, I'm watching people. We have a small church. I told Doc I was praying for deliverance, to be delivered from the church. That's a terrible thing to say, but I've been in that church for 21 years, and when Jim was alive, it was a lot easier than it is now. And I said, Lord, bring someone in to take the church over. Well, after all, now I'm going to share. I like to, they tell me I talk too much, but that's okay. I'm alone all the time, just me and Jesus, you know, and he and I just have a great time. But when I get in front of people, I tell it all. But anyways, I forgot where I was going with that, so I guess I'll leave it alone. But the thing is that the blood of Jesus, I go back to what I started to say, I'm seeing people that are having trouble believing and walking in what they say they believe. They have a head knowledge of the word, and it's they say it's in their heart, but I say when it's in your heart, you walk in it. I must say this. I think I said it last time I was over here. I must say it again because I don't want to get any more get well cards. I have been. I have gotten get well cards from being in the hospital. I've not been in the hospital. I've not been to the doctor. I don't want this to go out on the tape because I missed two services over two camp meetings because of some things I was doing for an elderly man in our church. He died a couple months ago. But those two, for about 6 months, I had to take care of the business for him and him and all this. And I had just lost my husband. Going through a lot of things, it wore me out, people. You know, my flesh got tired, and so I just couldn't make it over here. I told Brother Glenn, I said, the reason I didn't come was I was so tired I couldn't get my... I packed the Passover. I believe it was Passover to come over here.
You were handed a job that wasn't yours, but you did it then.
I had to do it because there was no one else there to do it. And when I had everything all packed to come, and had to go, got a call to go to the nursing home that night after I had everything packed out, except putting my clothes in a hanger to leave a bag to leave the next morning. And I had to go to the nursing home, and when I tried to get up to go, my legs wouldn't carry me. And so had a friend call Brother Glenn, tell him I just couldn't make it. I was afraid to get in the car and drive over here. So anyways, but that's... I just want to make it clear, I have not been in hospital. I appreciate the cards if you send me one just to encourage me, but no get-well cards, please. I'm putting this on the tape, people, because some of the people wasn't here that got the tape and thought I was sick. I'm an overcomer, child. I overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony and count not my life dear unto death. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you that your word is true. And, Father, you said in your word that it's settled in heaven, that your word is settled. And so, Father, we just thank you for that word. We thank you for Jesus, our Lord and our Savior. We thank you for the power of the blood. We thank you, Father, for all that you've given unto us that pertain to life and godliness. And, Father, now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the authority you've given me, I bind the strong men over this place. I come against principalities and powers and rulers and kingdoms and thrones and dominions in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ through the authority where I'm seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven far above principalities and powers of darkness. And so, Father, I thank you for the word. I thank you for all that you've given unto us. And now, Father, by your Spirit, bring back to my remembrance those things you would have me to share. And I give you all the praise and honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you what I told my church. I'm not going to bring you any new revelation this morning. I'm going to remind you of some things. The Lord had been telling me in my church to begin to share, go back and share and review and remind the people of the authority and who they are in Christ Jesus and what he has given unto us. And so he got me on the blood. Teaching on the blood. I did a teaching, Brother Glenn. I almost taught on this morning on the Lord's Supper, but I'm not. He showed me through the Lord's Supper that all that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ. So if you will, open your Bibles to Exodus.
You can mention about it because we need to do that Sunday morning.
Okay.
Amen. We do.
Okay. Praise the Lord. You know, everything we need. I was sharing with Dr. Noel when I said I was going to teach on the blood, and he says, you're going to teach on the soul? I said, no, I'm teaching on the blood of Jesus. So here we go. If you will, in Exodus verse 1, chapter 12, said, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbors next unto him and to his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. God said through Moses, told Moses to tell the people to kill the lamb, a lamb without spot or without a blemish. And he said to keep it up, separate it from the goats for 7 days. And then he said in verse 7, you shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they shall eat it. Do you see there are three places there that God said put the blood across the top and on either side? I'm going to detour just a little bit. And the Lord showed me as I was studying that I talked Sunday's week on my church on iniquities and transgressions and sin. And I thought, Lord, there it is. Three times he said put the blood for our iniquities, for our transgressions, and for our sins. You know that you need, if you don't know the difference in those three things, you need to look them up in the concordance and see everything. We classify everything as sin, and iniquity is, I'm not going to tell you what it is. Go in there and find out for yourself. Praise the Lord. But anyways, my point is right here in verse 7 is that it had to be applied. The blood had to be applied before it was, it did what God intended for it to do. Okay, now let's go to Hebrews chapter 9. I brought this Bible in. It's not the one I normally use, but the print's bigger and I can see better up here. I sometimes have trouble seeing by this light. In Hebrews in chapter 9 and beginning with verse 11, but Christ being come an high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offer himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He says here, Paul, whoever wrote Hebrews, said here, if the blood of goats and animals in the old covenant covered and protected, how much more the blood of Jesus Christ? Now, I was going to ask this when I started this morning. How many of you are saved here? Everybody's saved, I know. How many of you are totally healed? We believe in the blood. We believe in the cross. We know that Jesus Christ took our sins upon the cross, that he saved us, right? Why is it so hard to believe him for our healing? And I'm going to tell this, and please don't think I'm boasting on me. I want to talk about Jesus. And I didn't intend to do this, but I will. I was a good Baptist. Well, I was a Baptist. And I learned a lot of the word there. I learned that I am already in him, that I was seated in Christ Jesus in the third heaven because that's where he is. And he says that I'm in him and he's in me. So I learned that in the Baptist church. And I was just elated that they would pray, Lord, if it be your will, heal us. They prayed for healing. But it always had to be, that they always attached to the prayer, if it be your will. Well, it is God's will. And so I was in the hospital all the time. I had 13 major operations. I had cancer. And when God healed me from cancer, that doctors couldn't do it, I knew that God was my healer. Lord taught me, said, take my medicine. Take my medicine. It's the word of God. Take it three times a day. He told me, he said, you take medicine when the doctor says, take this, take that, and take it, you know, regularly. And I would. I'd set my alarm clock at night and get up and take medicine. God said, take my Hey, I was going to get an aspirin one time. Y'all heard my husband. Before my husband died, he used to give my testimony. I told him, I said, I'm going to strangle you if you don't stop giving my testimony because it was terrible. But it was true. What he said was true. I ate aspirins and all kinds of things for headaches. I did. I took tranquilizers for my nerves. And I took a lot of other medicine that they put me on. But when the Lord spoke to me, even I had just received the baptism, and I had a migraine headache. And I was lying on my couch with a terrible headache. Couldn't stand for anybody to walk across the floor. I'd scream if they moved. And I wanted to sit down and shut up and don't say anything. And finally, it just got so bad, I thought, I've got to go get me something else for my head. And I went to my kitchen and opened my cabinet and reached up to get this giant, big giant bottle of aspirin. I don't know how many I planned to take, but I was desperate. And as I reached for it, I heard God. He said, what are you taking those for? I said, because I've got a headache. He said, they're not going to do you any good. He said, take my word. Take my word. And I thought, okay. See, I didn't know the word like we do today. I knew it from Baptist doctrine, but I didn't know it like we do today. So I didn't take the aspirin. I set the bottle back up, went back, laid down back on the couch. And so the brother was talking about how the devil steals our faith. I'm going to tell you what those are. Those are false counselors and comforters. You know, the Holy Ghost is our comforter and our counselor. Well, the devil's got his too. And they come up and say, ho, it's not going to work this time. They tell you that. They lie. You got to learn to rebuke them and tell them, get out of here. You have no right here. So I lay down on my couch, and while I was lying there, the devil said, you're going to die. You're going to have a stroke. You're going to die. And it struck me as funny. I don't know why, but I began to laugh. And it wasn't an easy laugh because my head hurt. And I sat there and I laughed and I laughed and I laughed. And all of a sudden, that thing just lifted. People, I've never had another one. God taught me that his word was medicine. So my point of telling you all of this is, he has kept me healed for about 30 years. There is no, and this is Jesus. It's the word. It's the living word. I've been sick, yes, and I fought it off with the word. Walk the floor with the word. Quote the word and say, okay, God, I've done all that you told me to. Now, if you don't do it, and he does. But the thing is, we believe God for salvation. But you know, I find that even some people are not sure about their salvation. The devil comes up and says, well, we got a lady in my church. I got to tell this. I just told Doc while ago about it. It really blessed me. I told y'all I was praying that the Lord delivered me from the church. But I love them, and they love me. I don't know why they love me, but they do. But they sometimes I thought, all this teaching is just, you know, it's going on, there's just nothing happening. So I was teaching on iniquity Sundays a week. Under attack, like I was having a heart attack, and the pain was excruciating, and I didn't say anything. I was preaching, and I started binding and rebuking. I said, no, you don't, devil. Get your hands off of me. Get your hands off of me. Well, it got worse. Always does when you go to rebuking the devil. He don't flee just because you say boo. He wants to see if you mean it and see if you really believe it. And all of a sudden, the church, we're not very big. We're just a handful, and they got up. They got me, said, sit down. I said, okay. So I sat down. Somebody got a garbage can. They pulled chairs up around me, and they began to pray. And they began to bind and to loose. One lady that plays that piano, she's a real good musician, which has nothing to do with this. She always sits back and lets someone else do it. She was sitting there, and I was sitting here. All of a sudden, I saw the Spirit of God hit her. And I was in pain. I promise you, I was in pain. And she got up on her feet, and she went over to me, came over to me, and she said, devil, turn her loose. Said, I command you to get your hands off of her, and you spirit of death, you leave her now in heart attack. And she just kept on, and I began to get deliverance. She delivered, the Lord used her to deliver me. It blessed the socks off of me. Because, you know, you sit and you teach, and you think, boy, you know, they're a good teacher. They don't walk in anything half the time, but and then God gives you a blessing. So the thing about it is, if we know and apply, and I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures. You know them, but we're going to look at them again.
Amen.
And stand upon the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By His stripes. You know, He healed us before He saved us. Did you ever look at that and think about it? By His stripes, we were healed 2,000 years ago. We are healed. You know, the devil is trespassing upon God's property. We're blood-bought, redeemed, and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. And the devil has no right to us. But if you don't stand your ground, even when you know and rebuke, he still tries to overcome. So we overcome him by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You get your hands off of me, devil. You have no right to me. Over in Hebrews verse 21 in the same chapter of 9, he said, moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood, there's no remission. If Jesus Christ had not shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary, we would have no remission for our sins. But you know what? I was telling the church when I was teaching this in the church years ago, I got a book. I don't know who wrote it. It was on the day Christ died. And this man painted such a vivid picture of what Jesus went through that it literally just shredded me. And I saw what God did, what happened to the Lord Jesus for me. And I appropriated it for me. We can only appropriate it for ourselves. But I saw what the stripes on his back. You know, in Isaiah 52, it says that he scarcely looked like a man when they got through with him. That cat of nine tails that they used on his back that stripped him and the blood that was shed there was for our healing. But I can't stay off of healing this morning for some reason or other, so hang in there with me. Don't leave me. Praise the Lord. He said in verse 23 says, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Sometimes when we have... I'm dealing with a lady right now in my church. I don't know what she's been into, but she's at the place where she literally feels like that God doesn't love her anymore. She feels like that what she has done, she can't be forgiven. You know, the Lord showed me over in Exodus 34 when Moses, take a side trip, when Moses came down from the Mount with the Ten Commandments, remember? And he broke them. Do you remember that in chapter 34 it talks about God said to him, you go and make the tablets. First God did it. He did it and he wrote them with his finger, the Ten Commandments on those tablets that he put the commandments on. But when Moses broke them, when he came back down, do you think maybe Moses might have lost his temper or something when he threw those people? My point of this is when he told him to come back up on the mount, for him to bring the tablets for him to write upon, I saw forgiveness in this. He presented himself to the Lord first. The scripture said he did. And so this is what I was telling this girl. I said, you see, when the devil comes and accuses you and tells you, you know, you can't get forgiveness for this, or you can't be saved, or you this or that, I said, he wouldn't be saying that to you if it were true. He's lying to you, and he's trying to get you in agreement with him. And then when you agree with him, then it's hard for you to believe what God has already given unto you. And I said, you know, I believe. I know the word says over in Genesis that God said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. and I know, but I believe that as long as there's breath and there's life in the body, there's always hope. Amen? Okay. He said that he had put away sin. Now let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Now I'm going to show you the scriptures that say you're justified, you're sanctified, you're cleansed, and you're washed in the blood of Jesus. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. Verse 17 says, "And if you call on the Father who without respect to person judges according to every man's works, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you are not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot." The blood of Christ. We were redeemed, bought back. I looked up the word, I didn't look up this time, but the word redeemed, and we were ransomed out of the hands of the devil. See, we belonged to the devil before we came to Jesus. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 to 3, I think it is, it says that the God of this world, we walked according to the prince of the powers of the air. He was in control of our lives. But once we came to Jesus, then he lost his right to torment and harass us and have power over us. But people, unless you stand up and use the word, he will still walk over you. You can know it, and you can know about it, but if you don't apply it, it does you no good. It's like having your Bible lays on your coffee table. I got one on the coffee table, and you know, all over the house, but it could lay there till Jesus came. If I never picked it up, it wouldn't do me a bit of good. Now, I know you read, study the Word, but I'm going to tell you something. You need to put your name in there when it says he did this for you. He did it for me. When I came to the Lord, I'd been in church off and on all of my life. I was sitting in the back of a little Presbyterian church, and way back in the back. And I've often said, I don't know what the preacher preached. I don't know what they sang that morning. I just know that the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, if you were the only person in the world, I died for you. And I sit there and I begin to weep. And I said, "Oh Lord, I felt so unclean and it was just awful." And then all of a sudden, I just began to feel His love, and I accepted Him. I said, "Lord, I want You to accept me. I received Him, but I wanted Him to receive me." And you know, that's been a long time ago. But do you know that I keep telling the Lord? I know I'm taking a lot of sidetracks. If I bore y'all throw rocks at me. I want to see Him as He is. I want to know Him. I don't want to know about Him. I want to know Him. See, I've been knowing about Him, but I want to know Him. So, you know, Brother Glenn was talking about worship this morning. You know when you need to worship the Lord? When you're by yourself. Sit there and just tell Him you love Him. You know He'll come. His presence will come. And it's a cleansing when He comes. We were redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. He paid a price for us. He said in John, first chapter of John, you remember when John the Baptist was teaching and baptizing? And in John chapter 1, verse 29, he said he saw Jesus coming. Y'all, excuse me, I'm taking my shoes off. My foot hurts. I need deliverance. It's the truth. Amen. The next day, John, verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." John saw Jesus coming, and he saw, John knew who Jesus was, but you know, and I look at John and what happened to him when he was in prison. And you know, if you remember, he sent some of his disciples to Jesus and said, "Are you the one?" See, this is what the enemy can do to you if you pull away and you don't have fellowship. We have to have like fellowship. We need to fellowship around the Word. We need to encourage one another. And so he said he saw Jesus. He knew who he was. And he said what he said, probably the people around him didn't even understand it. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Well, they were walking under the old covenant. So he goes on to say, and also he says it in verse 36, "And looking unto Jesus as he walked, he said, Behold the Lamb of God." Now remember over in Exodus, go back to Exodus chapter 12. God told him to take a lamb without spot, without a blemish. You know, that lamb couldn't even have a skint placed on him. He could not have anything wrong with that lamb that they sacrificed. So here is Jesus, our lamb, the perfect sacrifice. The perfect sacrifice that had no sin, but yet he walked as a man. You know what that tells me? We are a long ways from where God wants us to walk. A long way. You see, there is a place to walk in Him where you can walk in your shadow, get people healed. There is a place you can walk in Him where people will be delivered and raise the dead. You know, the commission that God gave us was go ye into all the world. He said over in Matthew 10, Jesus said, as you go into the world, heal the sick. He said, as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is come. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Raise the dead. Cast out devils. He says, freely you have received, freely give. Did you know the more you do those very things, the more your faith will grow, the more you'll believe for yourself? You know, I have a hard time letting anybody pray for me that don't walk in healing. Because if they not healed, how can they get me healed? And I'm very careful who lays hands on me. That's another story. I won't tell that one today unless the Lord leads me to. But he said here in Exodus 12 in verse 20, I think it's 21, I won't. He said, "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintels and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." He said, put the blood on the door, but you stay in there under it. You stay under the protection of the blood. But it had to be applied, and they had to obey God's word. You know, in Exodus 15, he says, I will take healing, sickness out of the midst of thee. He said, but he has a condition with that. He says, we're to obey his word. And what I see, the reason that we have a hard time believing God in a lot of areas of our life is because we don't obey what he tells us to do. You know, the Lord just spoke to me about 2 weeks ago, and he said, "Why don't you give your car to your granddaughter?" I said, "Now get out here, devil." I rebuke you in Jesus' name. But it wouldn't go away, so I knew it was the Lord. I knew it was the Lord to start with, but my flesh was saying, "Now wait a minute, Lord." Well, see, I had a good excuse. She lives in Florida, and I live in Tennessee, so I said, "Well, how's she going to get my car? It's Jim's car." And I'd been using it this when I was moving and everything. So the Lord spoke to me again. I was talking to my daughter, and I heard myself saying, "Carol, tell Kristen I'm giving her granddaddy's car." I thought, "Now, wait a minute, I need to pray some more about that." But no, the Lord told me to give it to her. And so the thing, my point of sharing this is, what does the word say? Obedience is better than sacrifice. So we need to obey. You know, many times the Lord will tell us to do things and we'll say, "Lord, send somebody else," or like I did, "I rebuke you in the name of Jesus," you know. But I tell you this, that if we'll be in season and out of season, we'll see God do a lot of mighty things in our lives. Can I make another side trip and tell you just how the Lord's blessed me? You know, I'd never been alone in my life. All my life, I married out of my home. You know, I'm still home, mom and daddy. And when Jim died, it wasn't easy. It's been really hard. But I have sat back and watched my God. Oh, it's just been, it's been tremendous. But the Lord spoke to me after, when I was in so much pain after he died, and he said, I'll be your husband. I am your husband, and I am your father. He says, I'll be a father to the fatherless and a husband to the widows. I said, Lord, I classify into both sections. I'm by myself. But, you know, the Lord has had me aside, and he talks to me, and it amazes me what he has done. As long as we'll be obedient to him and just listen to his voice. I have to tell you this. I have friends that were friends of mine and Jim's years ago, and we just had kind of lost touch. They just moved in and helped me do things that, you know. How many people do you know would go and dig up all your roses and move them and plant them in your yard next yard? They took them out of one yard and brought them to the other. But this is the Lord. The Lord has just blessed. And you know what I say? Lord, I don't deserve this. Y'all look at it sometimes and think, what have I done for people, Lord? Do you ever do that? What have I done? I told you it was just a side trip, but I want you to know God has blessed me, and I praise him for it. Let's go on, though. Where was I? He said in verse 23, for the Lord will pass through tonight to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintels and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your house to smite you. And when you shall see this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. He says, this is something you're going to do forever. It's a law that I'm giving you to do forever. He was talking to the Israelites, but look at us. We have the blood of Jesus Christ. And I hear people sprinkling the blood, and we know sprinkling is not, you know, pleading the blood. We plead the blood. That's not scriptural. We need to cover with the blood. We need to place the blood and sprinkle the blood. You know, they sprinkle the blood on, Moses sprinkled blood on the altar. But when people go to pleading the blood, I have a little hard time with that because we don't have to beg for it. It's already ours. He gave us. He gave us all that the blood did for us. It's yours and mine. But it's only ours as we appropriate it. Everything Jesus Christ did for us is ours as we appropriate what he did. Let's go over to 1 John in verse 7. I'm getting around to what I said I was going to do. It just takes me a while to get there. Do you ever get so full and want to share so much and so hard to get it all out?
Let's do it.
And 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7. He says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Did you know that you're, mentally we say, well, you know, the Lord's cleansed me, he saved me, and he cleansed me. He cleanses us from all sin, but we've got to know that we know that we know that we're cleansed. But let me tell you something else. That was when you came to Jesus. And you ain't perfect, excuse my English. And you need to confess your sins. What you do. You got mad at somebody tailgating you down the highway coming over here. You got mad at somebody running in front of you. Did you say, Lord bless them? Or did you say, you idiot? That's a sin. Lord bless them. Watch over. We need to pray protection over them and everybody else on the street, on highway, when you see somebody do that. Because, you see, we forget. We sin. We sin with this more than anything else. You know, James talked about it in the book of James. Says, out of the mouth comes blessings and cursings, and it ought not be. We're cleansed from sin. We were cleansed from sin when we came to Jesus Christ. He cleansed every sin we committed the day we received him as Lord. as our Savior. But from there on, it's a walk that we confess our sins. And he says in verse 9 down here, if we confess our sins, verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Telephone rings. You don't want to go to the phone. Tell them I'm busy. You better get busy real quick or you're telling an untruth. See, we don't think about these things. But, you know, Jesus, I believe it's Jesus said it over in the Old Testament. There's a scripture also says it's the little foxes that spoil the vines. And that's those little clumps of lint that gets in our communication. You know, we got a direct pipe to Jesus, to the throne room. But all these little nitpicking things clog it up. And sometimes we can't believe it. Our prayers get in further than our head, the ceiling. Praise the Lord. He said, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and forgive us our sins and cleanse us from and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We have that on our wall in front of, right up in front of the church. If we confess our sins, we are real good at confessing other people's sins and their faults. Well, you know what Sister So-and-so did or Brother So-and-so did. Do you know what? Let me let you in on a little secret. The very thing you don't like in Sister So-and-so or Brother So-and-so is the very thing that's working in you and me. Ephesians chapter 1. We're cleansed now for our sins. Now let's go to Ephesians 1 and let's see what he says here in verse 4. He said, well, verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. See, he's given us all these blessings in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. But when we have anything in us that separates us from him, we can't believe they're for us. You know, every promise in this book is yours and mine. This is a letter to you and I. Do you know that this is not written to lost people? It's written to God's people. He said, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according as he has pleasure of his goodwill to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. So we have redemption through his blood, according to his grace. Let's go to Romans 5, chapter 5. Ooh, glory. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Chapter 5, verse 8. But God commended his love toward us while we were yet sinners. Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Do you know that justified, our justification, God looks at you and I through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He sees us without fault. So here we when the enemy comes in and accuses you, you know, Jesus said when the enemy comes and accuses you, he says when you're accused, agree with him. Agree with the devil. It's the enemy coming and maybe speaking out of somebody else's mouth, but it's still not the Lord. But get in agreement with him. Say, oh, you're right. I did do that. Lord, but the Lord saved me, delivered me from it, and he's cleansed me from it. Lord, I just thank you, devil, for telling me I can praise the Lord. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for cleansing me. Thank you for setting me free. See, agree with him quickly, and he'll run off when you start putting the blood out, saying, I'm cleansed. God knows it. I confess it to him. He knows it. But I do thank you for reminding me to praise the Lord for what he's done. Run him off. Praise the Lord. Justified. Just as if we had never sinned. Okay, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Brother preached on that part of that last night. But I want you to look at it again. Chapter 5. Verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We are in him. I used to tell my son, the one that was telling me he had a hard time being saved, I said, I can believe you know Jesus and that you serve the same God I do when I see a change in you. That's what Scripture says. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. He had a hard time at the beginning. He came out of drugs. God delivered him out of drugs, delivered him from alcohol, healed him of a lot of things. And the old nature, but the Lord took it. Let me tell you this. He put him in Romans 6 and 7, and he showed him that he was resurrected with Christ. He was buried with Christ and resurrected with him. He taught him through Romans 7, 6 and 7. So it made, he said, and all I hear from him now, I never just finished what I started a while ago, is he said, I ain't dead yet, Mother. He always says, I ain't dead yet, but I'm dying, God says. He says, I'm crucified with him. But he said, the old flesh is still works. So he said here, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And verse 21 says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So he made us through the shed blood of Jesus. He made us righteous. We have a right standing before God. Do you ever use it? Say, devil.
Amen.
I said, God blesses me. He does. But you know, I have to fight the enemy out of my house real often. Because being by yourself, he likes to come in and talk to you, torment you, or try to. But with the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, Satan has no part nor lot in our life. And the shed blood of Jesus cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We're sanctified by the blood. We're justified by the blood. We're cleansed by the blood. We're washed by the blood. We are delivered by the blood. And let me tell you this. I hear people say, well, the devil can't cross the bloodline. Find it in the Scripture and show it to me. If you don't apply it just because you're washed in the blood, it don't make him a bitter difference. He'll just walk in and take over if he can. You have to stand. You have to use your weapons. God has given us weapons to fight the good fight of faith. Dr. Noel asked me last night, we were sitting back there, and he said, Mildred, what are we going to do? We have got to pray God will raise up deliverance teachers.
Amen.
Where are they? They're all dying out. And I said, Doc, you and I are not spring chickens anymore. We have got to have people that believe in deliverance enough.
We've got to have help.
Yes, we've got to have workers. We've got to have people that will do it. The way you learn deliverance is to do it. Where are the people? Where are the doers of the word instead of, you know, do you know that you... We can become Dead Sea Christians if we're not careful. You know what a Dead Sea Christian is? You go and take in and take in and take in and take in, but you never give out. Never give out. God's done so much for us. And he said, he didn't, I hear people say, well, he didn't call me to do deliverance. You need to read John's. Mark 15, 16. You need to read the commission that Jesus gave the disciples there in Matthew. He said, as you go, preach. Did you know the deliverance is the way into the kingdom of God? Jesus said to the disciples when they said to him about casting out devils, or when the Pharisees said to him that he cast out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub, he said, if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. So how can one enter into the kingdom of God if he doesn't cleanse and get rid of the demonic forces that are in their life? And if I teach on the soul, I'll tell you over in Psalms 7, verse 2, it says that the devil came in when there was none to deliver, to destroy the soul and to take over. When there was no deliverance... Ooh, I tell you, I just get so. I just want to say, wake up, get busy, help. There are people that are hurting, and there are people that want deliverance, and we are the ones that have the knowledge, and we are the ones that God wants us to do it. And we have no excuse. I remember when God called me to preach out of South the Baptist Church, and I said, I can't do it, Lord. They don't let women preach. He preached me a sermon from Genesis to Revelation. And I said, I still can't do it. I said, Jim be the preacher, I'll pray for him. And God gave me a scripture. He says, the gifts and calling of God are without repentance, and I've called you, and if you don't walk in it, you will stand before me and give an account one day. And let me tell you something. If God has called any of you to walk in, and you're not walking in what He's called you to walk in, you will stand before your God one day and give account for it. That's a hard word. I was told just recently, you preach a hard word. I preach what the word says. I didn't write the book. I just read it. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us, one more. Chapter 13, verse, I think I want verse 12. Yeah. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Read all that scripture there, because I want to go on over into, since Brother Glenn said I could do this, I'm going to go on over into the healing in the atonement. We know about the healing. We know that Jesus took our infirmities upon the cross of Calvary. But when we go back to his death upon the cross and what he went through on the cross, and then he told us, in John 6, he said, told the disciples, he said, you cannot be my disciple unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he said, the word says that many of them turned and walked away from him when he taught that, when he said that. And so he looked at his disciples and he said, are you going to go too? And they says, where can we go? You have the truth. And when he was talking to them about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, what I see in that area is that he was talking about eating the word. Let the word, what did the word say in John 1? It said the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten Son of God. Jesus was the living word. And so what he was saying to us, that we eat that word and it brings life, it brings healing, and it brings deliverance. And let me see if I can find my notes on that. Bear with me just for a minute. Praise the Lord. He said in Isaiah, I'm going to go to Isaiah 53. He said in verse 1, who has believed my report? And he said, he was in verse 3, he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he is born out of grief and carried our sorrow, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten of God. He was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. So in Isaiah, he talks about, we see about his stripes. We know, I just went through that about healing coming through the stripes of Jesus, through the shed blood. 39 stripes. I shared this in the church the other day, and I said, you know, I firmly believe those 39 stripes that Jesus had upon his back were for the 39 major diseases that were in the world that come upon God's people. Now, I know there's a lot more diseases than that, but you stop and think about it. That why 39 stripes? Well, that was the law. But when he was beaten, before he went to the cross, he took our sickness and our infirmities. And when he went to the cross, over in Matthew's gospel, when it talked about putting the crown of thorns upon his face, let me see what scripture that is, upon his head. Let me back up and go with this, with the ones that way I've got it written down here. Let's go with the nails in his hands. You know the nails that was put in the hands of Jesus? The right and the left. If you look at that, what I want to share with you is that every wound that Jesus had in his body was for us. Amen. Had something to do with us. The right hand is, you can look at the nails in his hands as for the ministry of the laying on of hands. But let me give you another one. In Ephesians 2:6, tells us that he is seated in heavenly places, that we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. He has raised him up, verse 6 in Ephesians 2, it says, he has raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Well, where is Christ seated? At the right hand of the Father. Now, our authority comes from the throne room. The Lord taught me this years ago, that when I pray, I said, Father, I come in the name of Jesus, where in Ephesians 1 tells us that he has put all things under his feet. 1:17 through 23 talks about all things are under his feet. Well, I'm in his body. Aren't you? I always say, if I'm just a hangnail on the finger or on the toenail, I'm still in his body. I'm part of the body. And therefore, all that Jesus Christ has done and defeated the enemy and all of that, he did it for me. So therefore, when he put Satan under his feet, that means Satan's under my feet. And I'm seated at the Father's right hand in heavenly places in him. And my authority comes there. And the word says, far above principalities and powers and rulers of the darkness of this world, that we're seated above the kingdom of darkness. And God has given us authority to defeat him. That's one of the nails in his right hand. And the nail in his left hand. The scriptures I got on both of those is Mark 16:18 and Mark 14:62 on the right hand. But on the left hand, look at this. The left hand, what does the word say? Who's seated on the left hand? I said that there will be a division when God separates the sheep from the goats. The goats are on the left hand. Now, why would the nails in the hands of Jesus, the left hand, apply to us? Because that nail was for you and I to go out and bring those goats into the kingdom, get them saved. The lost, to go after the lost. He shed his blood, the blood on the left hand, the blood on the right hand, was for the ministry of God's people. He didn't save us to just sit down and say, glory to God, I got it. That's the Baptist church, I got it all. Those people that think they got tongues, they just don't know what they got. When I got the Holy Ghost, I sat down and said, oh, I got it. And the Lord said, no, you hadn't. He got me into deliverance. And then he says, you ain't got it all yet. You're still pressing on in. Amen. He did it for us to do his work. Do the work is what he did. He brought us into the kingdom for that. So the he put his in Matthew 10, chapter 10, 7 and 8. I read that to you a while ago. The left hand is for going out and preaching the gospel, sharing Jesus, and healing. And the right hand is for the healing of the sick, raising the dead. How many dead people have we raised lately? I used to dream about that. I've dreamed many, many dreams about raising the dead. And we'll go on. The blood from the nails in his feet cleanse our walk. Psalms 119 says, I think it's verse 30, says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my pathway. For the purifying of our walk. I am so tired of seeing God's people giving a bad witness to people and getting up and saying, it's not my problem. I know I shouldn't be looking at it, but it hurts me. And I know it must hurt God when he sees his men and his women that go out and proclaim to be who they are in him and do the things they do. God wants us to walk, set our heads like flint, our foreheads like flint, and keep our eyes on Jesus and walk toward him and not go neither to the left nor the right. You can't walk down two roads at one time, I'll tell you that right now. You're either walking in the devil's camp or you're in God's camp. It's just that simple. And Jesus' feet, the blood that shed through his feet, was shed for our walk. And on the crown of thorns, Man, I'm telling you right now, we need to apply that. We need to stand for that blood that came from that crown of thorns, because so many people are having mind problems. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God's not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and a sound mind. I'm going to share with the ladies this afternoon how to bind those scriptures to their to them. You know, we have authority in binding, and we don't use it. Oh, I do. I mean, I bind you if you look at me both ways almost. No, I don't. But I do bind, I'll tell you what. My daughter, let me tell you something. Binding works, really works, let me tell you. Even if people don't want it sometimes. My daughter had her neck broke. It's a long story. She's been going through therapy and all that. Listen, God touched her last Sunday. She had her neck broken, couldn't look down. She had lost 35, or only had 35% of uses of it. She went to church. We prayed for her in our church, and she lives in Florida, and she went to church, and there's a new pastor come in, and he just really felt anointed, and he got up there, and he called those that wanted prayer up there. She went up there, they laid hands on her, and she says, she called me up, she was so excited. She says, Mother, I see my feet. And my mind wasn't working in that direction, I thought. She said, remember, I couldn't look down, I hadn't seen my feet in a year. And she says, I've got feeling in my feet. Amen. He's not only able, he will do it. He, the believer. You know what? Let me tell y'all something. I see people get in prayer lines and go forward, but if you don't know that you're going to get what you go up there for, just go sit down. You're wasting your time and the one is praying time. You got to know, like the little lady that touched the hem of the garment. I told y'all I was shooting my work every way this morning. But the crown of thorns on Jesus. Think about it. The thorns were not, like I always tell my churches, not like ones on my rose bushes. I got some of my rose bushes are that long, and they hurt. But I could just visualize those things being like 2 inches. And I think they were. And they jabbed them down on his head. Well, the blood went through across his eyes, over his ears, over every part of his head. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He said, and I just quoted you 2 Timothy, but he also said, but you have the mind of Christ. Now, those thorns on his head was for a sound mind. It was also for healing of the ears and the eyes. You got to appropriate it. He said, well, why you got glasses on? I always tell this. I got glasses on because I'm too lazy to keep fighting to get it off. It's the only reason. Because I'll work on it for a while, work on my eyes for a while. You say, work on them? Yes. Apply the word like I said. And say, devil, get your hands off my eyes. And start commanding your eyes to see. You say, why don't you do it? You know why you get pain off your body? Because it hurts. You stand and put the word to that. But it's so easy to set the glasses back up on your head. That's why people take medicine. I don't condemn medicine. I don't mean to do it at all. I just want to say there's a better way. And be honest with you, I'm scared silly of doctors and medicine because I've seen so much that didn't work out right. Okay. One more. The blood from his side. What came out when they stuck the spear in water and the blood. The water, I see that as the word. The blood went into the ground, and the curse that was put on the ground in Genesis was broken. As you appropriate it and break, you ever pray over your ground, for your house that you live in, you walk around the yard and devil, this is my yard. This is my ground. God, it's dedicated to God. You have no right here. I curse everything that would try to come up in my yard in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask God to build a hedge around you. So you curse it. You better believe it because it's a lot of things come in my yard I don't want. And God's given us the authority. He said, over in Genesis 4, 3, he said the ground was going to be cursed with thorns and thistles. But when Jesus' blood went into the ground, you know, I taught one time, I've never taught it since, but I taught one time that there was a pause in the resurrection when Jesus went to the cross. And he was in the grave 3 days and three nights before he went into heaven. I never could figure out, you know, people put women down that minister, they try to. But you know, Jesus, when he came, was resurrected, who did he appear to first? And what did he say to her? He said, "Touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father and to your Father and to my God and your God." But then, later, he appeared to the disciples. He said, "Thomas," he said, you know, doubting Thomas, that's where a lot of us are. He said, "Put your hands in the nail prints and put your hand in my side." What happened between those two times? I read it to you in 1 Peter. It says his blood is precious. Not one drop of it, I believe, was left in this earth. I believe God, that's what he took into heaven when God accepted it for our sins and our healing and all that Jesus Christ did for us. God accepted that blood. I don't understand that, and I've never preached that out away from my church, but I believe it. His blood is precious. He's the Lamb without spot or wrinkle, and he did it for us. And when we take the Lord's Supper, the bread is the representation of the broken body of Jesus. And we need to have ourselves ready, prepared when we take the Lord's Supper, that when we take it, I say, "Lord, I'm taking this for the healing of my body. You went to the cross, Lord. You did more than all that I needed. And when I let sickness and disease take a hold of me, I say, you didn't do enough. Forgive me, Lord." And I repent. And when I drink the cup, I say, "Lord, thank you for salvation. Thank you for saving me." The blood represents salvation. The bread represents his broken body. And when we take that, the Lord's Supper, we need to take it worthily. The scripture says that some take it unworthily and they sleep. We never get taught all the time about how to take the blood and how to take the bread. It's devastating. If you're not ready to take it, don't care what people think. People say, "Well, if I don't take it, they'll think I..." You don't care what they think. You don't look to the left or right of you. You look in your heart and you be sure that things are right between you and God when you take the Lord's Supper. He shed his blood upon the cross of Calvary. He did all we need. And we have to appropriate. My whole topic of sharing about the blood this morning is to say, he did more than enough for us. We don't need anything else. We just need to appropriate what he did. Amen? And he did it for me and you. If we had been the only person in this world when he went to the cross, he went for you and I. And we have to appropriate it that way. And when we take the Lord's Supper, we can be healed in taking the supper if we will believe and apply the word. Amen? Well, glory. My watch and that clock back there. Is it? Okay. Well, I'm going to let you out early because I'm through. Praise the Lord. Aren't you glad? Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, let your word become part of us. Lord, let us become as Jesus did. You said the word was manifested. The word was manifested. The word became flesh and was manifested among us. And you also said over in 1 John 3:8 that he was manifested to destroy the works of the devil. And he did. We know he did, Lord. Help us to appropriate all that you've done for us and walk in it. Lord, we thank you this morning. We give you glory and honor. We praise you. We give you glory for what you've done. And we just ask now, Father, that you cleanse us. We are preparing for deliverance, Lord, as we look at ourselves, as we receive your cleansing, that we will look at our hearts, not at someone else's but ours, Lord, not someone else's sin but ours, that we will be delivered as we open up ourselves to the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Well, you're dismissed. Shall I bless the food? It's a little early, but I'll go ahead and bless the food. Father, we bless the food in the name of Jesus. Break any curses over it, any from the ground, any spoken. We will not receive any harm from the eating of it. We bless the people that cooked it. We just thank you for it. And Lord, use it to bring strength to our bodies. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.